Conferences. Long agendas, big venues, always on your feet, barely getting to see the people that you want to see, and then, of course, the expense. Well, the three of us at Good Morning Hospitality are launching Good Morning Retreats. Our first retreat is this July 8th through the 10th at the Horst Hospitality Training School in Auburn, Alabama. If you go to goodmorningretreats.com, you'll find out more information about our first retreat that we're launching. We have already filled half the slots. We have 20 available and we have about 13 already filled. So make sure you go there, you apply, show your interest, and we'll get you all situated for our first ever Good Morning Retreat. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast. And now back to the episode. Hey everyone, I was hoping to get this message put together sooner, but things like this unfortunately take time to set up. I just want to say that the acts of war against Ukraine break my heart, and I know as a prior service member myself that my thoughts and prayers go out to everyone who's fighting the fight that they really shouldn't have to. That being said, we have been working behind the scenes with all of our podcasts and podcast partners to put a fund together in order to pay for any refugee housing and other needs that go alongside that, like food, water, and any clothing needs. Internally, many podcasts in the Hospitality FM network have voluntarily given up sponsorship money in order to donate to the cause and are working on a unified message in order to spread throughout all of our podcasts. So this is me calling out to all of our property manager friends, industry experts, and anyone knowing of those providing lodging for Ukrainian refugees seeking safety. You can contact me directly at Will, with one L, W-I-L, at slicktalkmedia.com. We have an internal document that is being updated in real time, so if anyone could share this message within your network, we'd greatly appreciate it. I'm also placing in the show notes a link to our GoFundMe and landing page for Rentals to Rescue. That's rentalstorescue.com, where we're putting funds together in order to, again, provide finances for any of these lodging and relocation needs. So thank you so much for tuning into this quick message. I hope you guys are all well and safe, as I know we have tons of listeners in Ukraine and other countries in Europe. So thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Good morning, gentlemen.
You made it. Good morning.
What up? Back at the regular routine.
Check this. This is your new house, Will. I see a swimming pool. Business goes well. New sponsors.
Yeah, new sponsors are really kicking in the good stuff. No, this is one of our newest properties for recreation vacation rentals. We're out here in Orlando, Florida. So setting it up for the next 2 weeks. You know how much I love to install furniture and design and all that good stuff. So I got the easy task out of the way yesterday. I installed our smart lock and our Noiseware device. Shout out to Noiseware. It's been a fun day, but got 2 weeks out here in the beautiful Sunshine State, so can't complain.
Come on, beautiful life. Well, are the properties already on bedroom or not yet? Are the properties already on bedroom?
Yeah, I was waiting for you guys to sign the dotted line. Let's go. Okay.
I think that goes the inverse direction. I think you signed with
the deal. I sent them the deal. They got it.
Okay. All right.
I worked like this way. Okay. Well, I'll put you on the waiting list, but I hope you can be there in 2 years then.
Yeah, sounds about right. What's new with you guys? I was at LiveRes last week, the partner conference in Boise. Now we're actually having to be remote again. What's new?
Yeah, I was going to ask, how was the conference? What are the takeaways?
Takeaways. Obviously, it was a partner conference, so I would say the partnerships that were formed in that, just overall, like what LiveRes has done, they've created specific partnerships with specific companies. Their partners that use their software were really into like the classes and the panels and everything else. They're just hungry to learn. I think there's a lot of new and innovating, exciting things to apply to our business. A couple of conversations that I heard were, talking about hotels and, how hotels in their markets are becoming actually competable and, what they're trying to do to implement the best practices from them, but also how can they keep their uniqueness and style and operations and all the stuff. Partnerships, local destinations, local businesses, all that good stuff. So it was really good.
Nice. Well, I had a buddy in town this past weekend. So had a good time. Auburn is building a new hospitality school. So one of my buddies runs the program and gave us a sneak peek of this new $117 million facility that's going to have 30 or 40 hotel keys, 6 apartments. It's going to have a food hall, a brewery, teaching centers for top Michelin star chefs that come through the university on a quarterly basis. And it's going to be dope. So super excited for that to be open. And
that's gonna be nice.
Yeah.
Ross? I traveled a bit. It was nice. A week ago, I was in Turkey, in Istanbul. So they went to F1, to Racing. It was nice to just to travel a bit further, so it was really cool. So it was last week and week ago, and actually last weekend was just birthday weekends. So our small boy Oliver became 2, I became 25, so it was good.
25.
Man, you're looking a little rough for 25.
That's good. Right.
Yeah, since we do this podcast for a year, just check the pictures a year ago and now you see what happened. So. And that was your fault, or
well, no.
I hear kids will do that to you.
No, yeah. The past year, Ross, you looked younger from a year from now because you looked like you were about 80 last
year. A year ago was sharp, then it became really bad actually in between.
Yeah, you
and
see
now,
that.
And now it's a bit halfway. So I think I should need a haircut again anytime soon.
Aging right before your eyes.
They should give me some Botox for my birthday, but all good. It was nice to travel again. And you can see what is nice that travel restarts a bit. I think we're just going to talk about it soon. But yeah, there's something scheduled, and that's actually pretty cool. So I'm super excited.
I love it. Well, yeah, to kick it off, I think we normally do What's With the Noise, but this time we're going with the startup of the week. So Michael Golden, you'll be last, my friend, today. But here we go.
Oh, well, it's cool to be first now. Well, this one is Trip Actions, startup of the week. Can I call it still a startup? I'm not sure. I guess it's a scale up. If you look at the money they raised, $275 million in funds. Also realized that in January, they also raised actually $155 million. So in total, they raised $1.3 billion in total. So yeah, enormous amount. So if it's still a startup, maybe the way they think things could be, but amazingly what they have done so far. I think the valuation now is actually above $7 billion. So what they actually do, they're an travel management, business travel management startup or platform. So they have big customers like Heineken more. But it's interesting to see that actually there's so much funds comes available when a lot of people actually have the doubts, is business travel coming back? Well, I think me, the coming weeks are start traveling again for conferences. I think things are restarting, but it's good to see there's a lot of hope and actually, that also the investment actually is booming actually in business travel. So good sign. So congrats Trip Actions for this massive fundraise. And the question was, what is next step? Is it IPO? Their CEO said not yet and probably in the future, but probably not coming soon. Well, we predict a few IPOs, but this one probably can be on the list. I will say maybe next or year after. Michael, floor is yours.
So some interesting news came out this week. I don't know if you can hear it yet. Yeah, that's right. Porsche has gotten into hotels. So Porsche Design has had partnerships with Adidas, making some really cool shoes. They've built some really expensive clothing items. And now they're in hotels. They're planning to launch 12 to 15 hotels in the coming years and probably charge an extreme premium for those that love the brand. We'll talk a little bit more about this later in the show, I'm sure, but super interesting to see cars now getting into hotels and what kind of hospitality they'll be able to bring with it. And then secondly, back from the ashes, Zeus Housing came from what seems like they were closing their doors during COVID, totally turned it around and locks in $55 million to build flexible rentals, which was always what they were on a mission to do. But I think the market, and we've talked about flexible rentals a lot on this show, the market's pretty ripe for it and clamoring for this type of product. So congrats to Zeus and well done to navigate COVID and come out with a really big check to make it happen.
Yeah, I was impressed with the Porsche announcement because I got to, in my early days with Marriott, got to meet Dr. Wolfgang Porsche himself as a front desk agent. So they had a big event at our at our property, and there's some diehard fans. So imagine the hotel that they're gonna have with a lot of those Porsche diehards that are gonna probably book it out for the first year.
I don't hope the sound what you showed, Michael, is something what they have in the rooms, because for sure it will be a good solution for noise aware, right? So,
yeah, if they just pump noise like that into the hotels, this is going to be a great partnership between noise aware and.
But was it the real engine or was it the fake one? Because I think on the electric vehicles of Porsche, I think if you look at the Taycan, they're just building speakers, right? They're building speakers in the car just to have a sound, because otherwise it's just there's none.
That was the 2021 911 Turbo S.
I thought so. I just want to say it. I was doubting with GTS or RS, but yeah, thanks.
Yeah, that was real. That was a real one.
It wasn't one of those model hotel things that they're. I haven't been doing.
But it's interesting because you see more other brands, right? I don't know other car brands who move into this space. For sure, Mercedes or something, they own some hotels in Stuttgart. I won't be surprised. But if you're looking at this, at closed brands, it's pretty common, right? When you look at Versace, Armani, those, they're having hotels. I think this is one of the first ones who use the brand actually for building a hotel brand. So I'm curious if more will follow. I don't say Dacia. Hotel sounds really sexy, in my opinion, but.
So I think it is an interesting trend, maybe not of cars getting into hotels, but of people leveraging their brands. And we've talked about the Kayak Hotel a lot, right? Kayak's got a big brand and now they've flagged the hotel, and Porsche is really well known for their design. So now they're designing numbers of hotels.
Who's gonna do the management? Is it Lifehouse?
I don't know. We'll see.
That'd be interesting.
We will see. Who's the next brand that needs to get into it? Actually, before we do that, there's beer companies that do it. Like, doesn't BrewDog have its own hotel? And
well, I think I know that for sure. There's been a lot of pop-ups. Taco Bell did a pop-up hotel out in where is it? California, Palm Springs. So, you know, there's a lot of, I think, that pop-up mentality, you know, to test out the waters, and then, you know, why not jump in? Why not have a Taco Bell hotel with a Baja Blast fountain in the lobby or something like that? You know, it'd be pretty interesting. But you guys know what Turo is, right? So it's like an Airbnb type platform for vehicles.
Yeah.
Not that it's a brand that's going to get into hotels, but I think that's going to become a tie-in amenity for a lot of these.
You can see with the Heinekens, right? So Heineken was owning several hotels. I don't know if they still do. They didn't really use the brand, right? I think Loop Hotel in Amsterdam, one of the better hotels in Amsterdam, was actually owned by them, if I'm correct. But they didn't really use the name. It was more the ownership. Now you can see that Porsche is really going to use their name, probably, right? I'm curious if they're really going to just add their name to the hotel chain, to the brand, or just owning, for example. And for sure, Mercedes is owning, I won't be surprised, some hotels in Stuttgart or invested, because they're just half of their people, visitors to go to Stuttgart are coming from Mercedes. So I don't know if they're going to use their brand. I'm pretty curious what's going to happen in there. But yeah, Porsche is always famous for design, right? So they can for sure do something there.
What brands do you want to see in hotels?
Me? I would just say we're pretty well. If it will be Google, I will be scared because probably they did record everything what I'm saying and doing in the room. So I'm not sure if it will be Google. Apple will be pretty fancy. I love Apple stuff. So we're pretty fancy to see some Apple gadgets all around. Pretty probably will be pretty wide room, I guess so. So there pretty minimalistic.
There were talks of Apple getting in hospitality about 10 years ago. But I never
saw it. The same with cars, right? It's still not there. So let's see. They have some announcements later today. So I don't think they're going to announce in a hotel chain so far cars, but we'll be cool.
If we learned one thing from COVID, we want to own hotels. that might plummet the stock. I would love to see Delta open up a hotel. I don't know about
Delta. I was gonna say, man, if I hear Golden talk about Delta, yeah, that'd be interesting. Airlines, why not? You know, why not have a hotel in their main city where their hub is? And
actually, Corvano did it in the Netherlands. What they did, they had their own old 747. So actually, what they did, they just parked it. It's near Amsterdam, and they just turned it into a hotel, so you can just stay over in the 747. So they built some rooms in there. So there's an opposite way of doing it, but they convert the plane into
little hotel. Airplane toilets.
I'm not sure. I didn't go there yet, but it will be. Yeah, at least you can be part of. Well, it's not flying, but otherwise you could be part of the special club. But in this case, I'm not sure.
Well, I think it's like think about it. It might be a cool way for the loyalty rewards members to earn some more miles. You know, not only are they earning miles in the sky, but they could also earn them on the ground. It's kind of a good selling point for us loyal brand members out there. Golden, who's dedicated to Delta, myself, who's Alaska, Marriott, all that good stuff. So it's a good idea. Yeah. But anyways, I got distracted. My pool guy just showed up to the house too. So I was going to record outside, but then the lawn maintenance guys were there, and then now the pool guys. So I'm glad I'm inside. But I think the big topic for today, and this is where it's going to play into like predictions, is this a trend that is going to quickly go away, or is this actually here to stay? You know, the long moment we've all been waiting for, international travel to come back, not only for us in the U.S., but for other countries to enter the U.S. So I think that's the big news.
Yeah. Selfishly, I'm the flights to Europe this year and back have been quite nice. They're not crowded. They're empty and getting whole rows flying out and flying back. But as a shareholder in Delta, it's probably in my best interest that the international travel lanes open up mutually.
So, still the majority, or you sold your majority already?
Oh man, I bought on the dip back in back in COVID times. So it's going to be interesting. You know, the big driver for international tourists is either peak season, right, or it's business travel. And now in November, we're not in peak season. And there's still not going to be a whole lot of international business travel, I would imagine. So opening it in November is probably, I don't see a big bounce coming anytime soon. Maybe a lot of people coming to visit family that weren't allowed to previously. But
so you don't think the holidays will get a big push? Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, anything like that?
I mean, I don't especially think you're going to celebrate Thanksgiving, so no.
Well, I was gonna say there's probably a lot of people that have friends and family out here that do, so you never know.
Well, maybe those focus right, it was lobbying to get these things open, right? Because 1 week later is focus right, so
might be Glenn Fogel made some calls to Biden to make sure it was open in time for focus right.
I wouldn't be surprised, yeah. No, but it's good to see because you see, before I didn't travel, I just took a flight, I did it for 1.5 years. Last week I flew to Istanbul. Wednesday I fly to the Netherlands. In 2 weeks to London. Then it is in 4 weeks to WTM. It is near Miami. So pretty cool that things actually restarting. You can fly again. I really missed it. So I'm super excited. Let's hope that things stays under control. Right? You see some signs in some countries as it goes up again. But let's hope it will be under control so we can continue traveling.
For sure. Do you guys think that's what I guess my question was going to be was, do you think that it's going to stay open? Especially because I think we all know last year
when flu season hit. Guess what happened? Everyone went back into lockdown. So I'm kind of curious.
I like to think there's a level of global fatigue on COVID, and that there's a vaccine out. There's pills that people can take to reduce the ability to go or the need to go into hospital by 50%. So when there's therapeutics and preventatives, at some point you just have to carry on with life, like quarantining again or socially distancing even. Like we're to the point we've got to move forward. And we just had a big in-person conference in Texas, maybe 2,000 people. Masks were required, but didn't seem like they were enforced. And I mean, I read about one guy getting COVID, but had no symptoms. So
I was also, you know, drink your water, take vitamin C, take your, you know, be healthy, try to.
Yeah. I mean, take care of yourself, right?
Yeah, and exactly. I think
that's maybe what's missing in the world today is just take care of yourself. Let other people take care of themselves. Yeah. Anyway, we digress. So I do think November is a bad time. You're right though, Will, that in the past year, COVID got a lot worse during the winter time. But the difference this year is we have measures in place to mitigate it. So we've already seen in the US, the Delta variant, to mention Delta for the third time, is decreased quite a bit in the US. It seems to be on like a 2-month cycle to burn out, and you know, maybe it goes somewhere else next and hurts their travel for a while. But it's good news that we're finally open to internationals. I just don't know if it's going to move the needle enough for it to make a difference this year. Well, probably.
I don't think they're going to do again restrictions. It will be too tough to have their second or third time in some places to close things. They won't do. You'll see that people who would like to have their vaccination, they could get it now. I think and you might have a new shot probably maybe soon, but I don't think they will close things now. You can see things are too, everything is open. They can't go back again. This won't happen. So I think that people take the responsibility where they can. I think when we're keeping it under control, would be, but yeah, if you see how things are moving first, like for example, Netherlands, everything was closed. There was no parties allowed. Now there starts as okay, now you can have a party. Those clubs are so massively packed, you can't even move. So
yeah,
that's my bit my concern, right? Because people miss it for such a long time. They're doing it extra. It's more packed than ever before. So let's hope still people take the responsibilities and stuff. And I think
Ross, can I ask you?
Yeah,
I was gonna say, can I ask you what's the I guess for being a person that would travel to the U.S. internationally, what's the thought process? Are people scared to come to the U.S. because of how open things have been, or do you think it's going to be?
No, I don't think so. You will see that. Of course, you have to prepare. You have to fill in forms. I don't know what I have to do. I still have to check what I have to do to come to the U.S.
Yeah,
but I don't think so. What we actually see, we're in 2 weeks is a WTM, which is one of the biggest, hotel conferences for sure in Europe. And some employees are actually scared to. We ask them, "Do you want to go there?" And they sometimes say, "Well, I prefer not." So you can see, actually, people are scared. Indeed, some people are scared to travel. Mm-hmm. But there also has a group of people. Okay, we just have to continue. We just have to move on, right? And so there, you can see there's still the group of people who are concerned and scared. You have got the group of people who just do everything as okay, I don't care. I'm a bit in between. I have to move on, but just still do what I can do just to protect myself or others. So,
yeah, I think to play devil's advocate to my point earlier, the cities in the US that have been hurt most by COVID were hurt most because international travel wasn't happening. So Miami, New York, LA, places that are big gateway cities for international tourism, even Hawaii, for them to be open now means that much more occupancy in Miami and New York and LA. So if the Europeans that are more progressive than Ross even are clamoring to get out, And you know, there's a pretty decent subset of people that are used to traveling and haven't been able to for 18, 24 months. They're coming. I just don't know what kind of volume that is. And Ross can probably share maybe a little bit better.
Well, I have to be honest that I check more often the weather forecast for Miami so far than the numbers of cases, right? So you can see you were just checking this for a while, like what is happening, where it goes up and down. And I think, well, I want to move on, right? So again, I just check more the weather forecast, even though because in here was snowing a few days ago already. So maybe that's the reason I'm checking this more often. But
yeah, I remember in June or July of last year when COVID was waning, and the topic of conversation, the icebreaker for a new meeting, shifted from COVID to the weather. And we got through like 10 minutes of small talk before COVID even came up. And that was like a miracle, a marquee moment in my mind of we're losing this desire, willingness to speak about COVID, which is what ultimately needs to happen, right? It's still out there. It's still going, but we also have to learn to live with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's why I learned it.
Well, what is super excited, Michael, that we, and probably Will as well, that we got to meet each other in person. That will be super fun. So that will be in 4 weeks from now.
Yeah.
Exactly 4 weeks from now, yeah. We're going to be on Focusrite. So that will be cool. I never saw you. Maybe I'll just see you for the first time. Like, oh, shit. Or just going to run to each other in slow motion. But it will be fun. We should do recording there, but it will be, that will be fun. We never met in person. So that's actually really cool.
Yeah,
well, I just met for a year. So how can you become knowing each other in a virtual world, right? Maybe you don't even exist. Maybe you're just in your AI, yep. Right?
Maybe you're an
avatar.
I hate you.
Maybe you're an avatar. No, but it's cool.
That's what I found out when I met Golden in person. You know, we didn't have that running and slow mo moment together, and then found out he actually just hated me. So he didn't want to talk to me at all. He was just like.
No, he texted me afterwards. He was really disappointed. Yeah. So he's like, I keep it professional because of the podcast, because he got paid so well.
Yeah.
He said,
yeah.
He texted me, but he said, that's the only reason. And he said, I'm happy that, of course, Delta's sponsoring the show and Will's paying well. So he said, that's why I'm just doing this professionally. But he said,
free flights.
I don't want any contact with Will after the show. So, but I'm really happy taking this professional, guys. Really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is this the high six figure?
I have a feeling it's not going to be that for the Michaels, but.
You know. No. We will just BFFs and just a little selfies to Will. Like this is new friendship and stuff. And we just.
I'm heartbroken over here. Well, last week, Golden got to do the whose brand is it anyway? So, Ross, I'm going to give you a minute to find a hotel brand under one of the big flags. You don't have to do a picture or anything, but you're just going to call out the name and we're going to guess who it is. No cheating, Mr. Golden. I see you looking at your monitor.
I'm actually looking for a flight focus, right? It reminds me I need to book it. So,
okay. Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. But no, I think it's.
Okay. Let's do it.
It's going to be good. Got one. All right. So hang on. Here we go. We got to do the virtual.
Hands up, Will.
Yeah.
Boom. Whose brand is it anyway?
Hands up.
One hand's holding.
Both hands.
Yeah. Yeah.
The other hand's holding the microphone. So,
all right.
Okay. All right. Atwell Suites.
Atwell.
A T W E L L Suites.
I'm going to guess Best Western because I know Ross likes Best Western.
I'm going to say IHG.
Well done, Mr. Slickers. Well done.
Ah, damn. Yeah. I am so mad.
I just typed in brands of IHG and there it was. Atwell. I never heard about it, even though IHG, we have them all on Bedroom, but it's a.
I was going to say, I figured with the Bedroom connection, IHG, you know, shout out to our new sponsors over there.
No, they're happy to be a sponsor. So.
That's good. That's a good one. Awesome. Okay. Well,
speaking of sponsors, shout out to Jetstream, sponsor of the day.
But actually, I want to say it's so amazing this show because we just want to deal with a partner. And then I saw their companies they're working with. Actually, they're working with Operto, they're working with Jetstream. So actually, I reached out to Emmanuel and to Steve. and actually asked them for like, what is your feedback about them? And actually it was really useful. So because of this show, I just could actually verify the new potential partnership with the PR company. So pretty cool. So shout out to also to awesome. Jitstream to come back on me on really short notice, and the same with our guys of Aperto. So yeah.
Well, actually, fun fact, I'm meeting with Emmanuel Lavois tomorrow for breakfast here in Orlando. So that's Why actually going to be there is a conference. So like a high tech conference.
All right. Yeah. Nice.
Cool.
So we're going to meet in person. But yeah, great sponsors of the show. Great friends. So
you take a new contract with you for a new sponsorship agreement for the coming 5 years, or?
We're going to extend the current one, but yeah, we'll see if it's 5 years or if it's going to be, you know, maybe 10. I might just sell the media company and Jetstream will start running.
But you reject the Netflix. You reject the Netflix offer already, right? Because it didn't make any sense. Yeah. So you still talk with Amazon cheap. Prime. Oh, we still recording now. We're still recording. Oh,
Spotify.
Yeah. We're still recording. Yeah. This is some NDA stuff.
Okay. No, it's okay.
Well, before we drop, well, shit, I forgot my train of thought. We can drop
Amazon Prime, no Delta, Marriott,
White House, no, none of those,
no,
Noise Aware, no, none of those. All right,
about your friendship with Will, no,
no, none of those,
no. No, I think it is a good to just to end and then just to go back to work and speak in 1 week because
need another coffee.
For sure. All right. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, happy Monday. Great chat this week. Happy Monday. See y'all next week.